Okay. Hi, my name is Essi, and I'm from Finland, from Helsinki. And I work in an NGO, Pro Tukipiste. Very nice pronunciation, best of what I have heard in many years. I'm going to speak about Finnish experiences on measure that has been aimed at reducing the demand for sexual exploitation, for example, and actually reducing the demand for purchase of sex from exploited persons, either by that they are trafficked or that they are working under a pimp. So I will have some information about how it's implemented, and I will also explain some practical experiences from working with victims of trafficking. So I want to kind of explain how these measures also impact the kind of realities of people we work with. So Pro Tukipiste NGO, we are 27 years old already. We are the only NGO in Finland who works with sex workers, erotic workers, and we were the first NGO to get money to do anti-trafficking work since 2007. So 10 years of work against trafficking, meaning assisting victims and also taking part in the advocacy work to support the rights of victims of trafficking. And of course, in Finland, there's a lot of legislation and possibilities to work with authorities. So we work in cooperation with police, the assistance system for victims of trafficking, and every other authority or NGO that is needed for the case. And we also have at the moment going on a project to develop identification of victims of trafficking, and that's stepping stones for identification in dialogue. In the project, we have tried to make that kind of information materials that would be kind of understandable for people, that it would be like not the barcodes, not the chains, but how trafficking, how normal it might look for people when they face, for example, victims of trafficking. We try to avoid kind of giving out stigmatizing, stereotyping pictures. That doesn't really help identification. We don't really meet people with barcodes on their heads, and so on. And we have at the moment going on a big national fundraising campaign for NGOs, which are all working with victims of trafficking. And with that campaign, we had a lot of trouble because people making the campaign wanted to use exactly the same pictures that we have seen in these few days here as well. So it's quite, I think it's necessary now to find new ways to speak about trafficking and to show also the general public that it isn't like chains or that people are putting, that they are, their mobility would be restricted in that way that it's usually pictured in the campaigns. So I will explain something about how in Finland prostitution and trafficking human beings are controlled in our legislation. And I will also present the so-called Finnish model. So that's our approach to the reducing the demand for sexual services or sexual exploitation. So in our penal code, you know, we have this kind of abolitionist kind of policy on prostitution. That's kind of that all 30 third party involvement in prostitution of others is criminalized. Everything, including renting a flat, making advertisements, and so on. Everything like this is everything has to do with organizing somebody else's prostitution or sales of sex is criminalized. And that's a crime of gaining benefit from someone's sex work. And that means that pimping in Finland doesn't include any kind of exploitation or abuse of power or anything like that. It's kind of a business type of deal in the law. Yeah. And then in 2004, we got the trafficking in human beings, and it covers all forms of trafficking in human beings. And also, the purchase of sexual services from minors is illegal, and that's the age limit is 18, so it's higher. 16 is the kind of average limit for sexual encounters, if it doesn't include money. But minors under 18, it's illegal to buy sex from them. But then, to the Finnish model, it was introduced in 2006, and it has been amended in 2015. The Finnish model, the partial criminalization of purchase of sex, is called abuse of a victim of sex trade. And it means that the people who have a pimp or who are kind of renting a flat from somebody who knows that the person is selling sex there, and also everybody who is identified as a victim of trafficking, from those persons it's illegal to buy sex. And as I told, we have a very broad pimping law. Almost everything that has to do with third parties is criminalized. So it means that in theory, it would be very kind of hard to know whether you are buying sex from somebody who is pimped, because pimping can mean quite many things, like advertisements, for example. And this measure, the partial criminalization, was introduced just as a measure to reduce the demand for sexual exploitations of victims of trafficking and persons involved in organized prostitution. And that would lead reducing prostitution altogether and also trafficking in human beings. Those were the kind of why it was introduced. Well, prostitution or sales of sex is in many ways controlled also in other laws than penal code. We have the Aliens Act, same as in many other countries, in Nordic countries, for example. It means that a person from third countries outside EU Schengen area can be deported just by the suspicion that the person is selling sexual services. It's a refusal of entry or deportation. So this means that if a person from a third country is selling sex, and if there's kind of trafficking-like circumstances, but the person is not identified, it's a big risk that they are deported out of the country without any kind of assistance measures. And in Aliens Act, we also have the residence permits for victims of trafficking, but that means that you have to be identified officially as a victim of trafficking. And also in Public Order Act, it's illegal to sell and to buy sexual services on public places. So it's very hard to kind of work legally in sex work, because there's so many laws that you have to take in consideration. In practice, it would be like you should have your own flat, you should be EU citizen, registered in Finland, pay your taxes, and then it would be like legal, but it's not considered as work in Finland either. So it's in a gray area, whole of the sex work or prostitution. And then in 2006, we got the assistance system for victims of trafficking. So we can refer people to national assistance system, and people are entitled to support measures like housing and income and so on. And of course, NGOs support people also when they have been accepted to the national assistance system. We work together with authorities also with that. But now, due to the Finnish model, the partial sex purchase law, so living next to Sweden, we have been very much introduced to the Swedish model. It has been discussed and debated since the 90s, and actually many people think that Finland already has the Swedish model because people think that it's already criminalized to buy sex. Many people also think that it's criminalized to sell sex. And what we see in our everyday work with sex workers is that they are very, very unclear about the legislation, not national legislation. And of course, because the legislation in Europe, for example, differs in every country almost, so it's hard for people to know what is legal. Are they working or staying there legally, or can they be accused of selling sex, for example? But the sex purchase law in Finland means that the knowingly use of services from victims of sex trade, it was criminalized in 2006. So in principle, the law makes a difference between consensual, independent sex work. So if one is selling sex on her own, on his own, and is consenting on that, and they are both adults, both the buyer and the seller, so that is considered to be a different issue than, for example, sexual exploitation in human beings. So that's a kind of a different view, for example, compared with Sweden. And that's why I don't like the term Nordic model, because every Nordic country almost has a bit of a different kind of legislation. And in 2006 and before that, when the law has been introduced, of course, there was strong advocacy also for the total ban, the Swedish model. But it was rejected by the Constitutional Law Committee of Finland. They thought that consensual sexual interaction and economic interaction between consensual adults is a sort of a thing that would be very hard, or would need extremely hard evidence if that kind of law would be put in place. And the law that criminalizes partly the purchase of sex, if the person is pimped or trafficked, it has been criticized many, many times. For example, it has meant that the sex buyers who haven't known or are claiming that they haven't seen or known anything suspicious about the circumstances of the person that they bought sex from were kind of the winners in court cases. And they knew that it would be quite hard to prove that should you have known that the person is pimped or trafficked. So, because of this lot of criticism and troubles in court cases, the law was amended in 2015. So now it's offense on the user's negligence. I'm sorry for my English, but it means that you should be very careful when you buy sex. The punishment is quite low. 6 months imprisonment is the maximum, and or fines. And now I will show something about Finnish police statistics about how the partial sex and criminalizing law is implemented in Finland. And I will also show some statistics about investigated pimping crimes and trafficking crimes. So you will see the scale in Finland, how many crimes are investigated at the moment. So, as you can see, we have quite small numbers. Finland has about 6 million citizens. And since 2013, I took the kind of statistics. It's kind of very few procuring cases, pimping cases, that we have had yearly, investigated by the police and cleared by the police. And also aggravated pimping cases. That means that it has been kind of a larger business, or the money that has been made has been very big amounts. So also those numbers are very, very few. And also the reported trafficking cases are all the time quite low. And for example, in 2016, there seems to be a rise in the reported cases of trafficking in human beings. But in practice, in Finland, most people who are, for example, taken into the assistance system for victims of trafficking have been victimized outside of Finland. The crime of trafficking has already happened before they enter Finland, and then they are identified usually in the process of asylum seeking. So it means that the 65 cases reported, for example, in 2016, and that very few of them are cleared, solved by the police, it means that they have happened somewhere else than in Finland usually. And because of the lack of international investigation teams and so on, it's very hard to kind of get those cases closed at all. But then, because these kind of crimes and trafficking crimes, it includes all forms of trafficking, and the sexual exploitation is the most badly identified one. So most cases in Finland that has happened in Finland, the crime has happened in Finland, has been labor exploitation. So we differ from many, many countries in that way. But then, because in pimping cases and in sexual exploitation trafficking cases, you could use the partial sex purchase law. So these are the statistics about how it's been used. And as I told you, in 2015, the law was amended, so it should have been easier to kind of prove that the sex buyer should have known. But after 2015, there has been even less cases reported and cleared by the police. So it means that we don't have much practice about the law. It's not really implemented. This doesn't mean that the purchase of sex from pimped persons wouldn't happen in Finland. And this kind of shows what the statistics tells us or doesn't tell us. And after the amendment in 2015, it seems that the law hasn't been used almost at all. So quite interesting. I was kind of interested myself to find out about this, because this this law comes up all the time when we are assisting victims of trafficking, for example, or working with people who have been who have had a pimp assisting them in their sex sale. So even if not implemented, laws have concrete consequences. For example, if we identify a person as a victim of trafficking and she has suffered sexual exploitation, we have to discuss also the possibility that the person has to go through the trafficking criminal process and maybe also criminal processes with the sex purchases. And because of lack of experience about how it's been implemented, there's not really much to say about if it's worth it for the victims. Do they get any compensation? Not really. So this is kind of an issue that we have to discuss with people, and it's kind of a thing that people are usually scared of. And it kind of, because in Finland, the criminal justice system is quite slow. It can take years that the process, criminal processes. So it might mean that the trafficking criminal process might take 5 years, and also the process with the sex buyers might take another 5 years or something like that. So that's too much for young people, for example, who we have been working with. And because of the problems that if a person who has bought sex from somebody who they think that might have been trafficked, in some prosecuted cases, the prosecutors have thought that they are not going to prosecute the person, the sex buyer, because they have wanted to hear them as witnesses. And if they would be speaking about the kind of circumstances that they saw the woman or man was in who they bought sex from, they would be witnessing against themselves. And that's kind of the self-incrimination principle goes here. So the law is in practice very hard to implement, and it has kind of impact for the people who we work with. But unfortunately, I would say, we have also experiences about when the law has been implemented. So as I told you, the criminal processes are very long. It can take years. And the victims, usually, they have to be present in the court cases and criminal investigation. And then there can be dozens, hundreds of sex buyers. So for a traumatized person, it means that you might have to see hundreds of photos of men who have been exploiting your vulnerable situation if you have been trafficked. And also, your identity is exposed to the sex buyers. And this is quite a big issue because many people in sex work and also who have been victimized in these kind of crimes do not want to be outed as person who has been involved in prostitution, may it be forced or not, or trafficking or not. The stigma of being outed or identified as a prostitute, that's kind of a thing that everybody wants to avoid. And what we have seen when supporting people during these criminal investigations and court proceedings, the humiliation of people in the court when they have to go through 10 dozen times of the stories of the men who will tell that she was just fine, she smiled and so on. They have to go through every single issue with the men who have bought sex from them. So I don't know how that matches with the principle that you shouldn't be kind of recollecting traumatizing experiences unless it's very necessary. So what I would want that if this kind of legislation is planned or implemented anywhere, it has to be more victim-friendly policies taking place. Don't do it like we have done it in Finland. It's not good for the people. And of course, as the law hasn't been really implemented much, and it might have some effects, but it's very hard to know what would be the real impact of this certain law. There is no information, reliable information about the, for example, the positions, different positions of different people involved in sex work, or the victims of trafficking, or how it has impacted the demand for sexual services or for sexual exploitation. I think the it's very unclear. So there's nothing to compare the data before and after with. So how to measure the impact would be, it's kind of hard to evaluate then, or it would need very proper evaluation. And as I showed you, the police statistics of trafficking crimes, for example, are very low. And in Finland, we have had problems with police, that it's very hard to identify that the person is a victim of trafficking when it comes to sexual exploitation. Many times people are considered to be unwanted aliens wanting to enter Finland, and they are not identified as victims of trafficking. That's for many reasons. And of course, the lack of kind of trust that the criminal process would bring anything good, or the fear that the close ones or the victims themselves, are they protected during the court cases and after that? They have to live in a very small country after that with the perpetrators. So these kind of issues, and also the lack of resources of Finnish police. We don't have specialized units to trafficking crimes. And it might be that when you report a case to the police, it's investigated in another title, like aggravated pimping, for example, or usually like work discrimination. And when a crime is investigated in this way, we don't get the trafficking statistics. And in practice, it means that the person are no longer, if it's not investigated as trafficking, the people are either no longer entitled to the services of the assistance system for victims of trafficking, because that's tied to the trafficking crime. And as I told you, either the people who sell sex and buy sex are often not familiar at all what the laws are in Finland and what they mean in practice. So it would be also quite difficult to measure the impacts of these laws, what they have in the, for example, for different people in sex work or the buyers. So what I would like to kind of say is that prostitution policies and policies against trafficking human beings and policies to prevent trafficking in human beings are kind of multifaceted phenomenons. So there are like multiple issues that you have to look at if you want to see reduction in the or effect to trafficking or purchase of sex or whatever kind of phenomenon that you are researching. So all kind of global, national, economic migration trends, situations on labor markets, or kind of rights and policies and changes in those. And especially when they are affecting vulnerable groups, they always have an effect for people and what kind of possibilities they have for making a living, for example, or if they are entitled to social services or health services. And of course, the national legislation concerning prostitution or trafficking in human beings should be also one of the things, and also kind of attitudes and values towards sexuality, gender, and kind of human rights approach. And also, if we compare countries or cultures with each other, and compare kind of what prostitution policies, for example, are good or not good, there might be also kind of historical, sociocultural differences and roots that you should also take into consideration, not just to look at one part of the law. And as we have heard many times yesterday and today, we should also take into consideration what data is there and what it actually says about anything. But to the end of my presentation, I would like to leave you with some questions or thoughts for further discussion. So if you want to implement these kind of measures to reduce the demand or to kind of impact, for example, people's position in sex work or in if they are trafficked, how we could implement more victim-friendly policies and avoid the re-traumatization during the criminal process? And how are we going to measure the impact that it has to different groups? And how to avoid more marginalization with the campaigning, for example? And how to avoid stigmatization of already groups that are marginalized and stigmatized? And should there be some kind of intersectional analysis? But all kind of issues should be kind of considered when making the analysis or evaluations or of the impacts of different laws and policies. And what are the unwanted and unexpected consequences? Usually when people are speaking about policies, they speak about what they are aiming for, but not so much about what are the unwanted, unexpected consequences of the law. And we have seen many campaigns, so my question is, who should be targeted? And should there be made a difference between awareness raising and campaigns that actually aim to change a behavior of the group? And how we could involve people who are affected by these campaigns in the campaigning and the evaluation, for example, of the campaigns? And from my experience, it has been very important to work with sex workers and people who are selling sex and not maybe identify themselves or are in a position that they are trafficked. I think that it's very important to support the inclusion of sex workers and erotic workers to the fight against trafficking. They are the people to know about the rights. What can they do? How can they seek help if they want to? And they are the ones who reach people who we, service providers, don't reach. We have very good experiences about peer referral, especially from marginalized groups. For example, people who don't speak any kind of native languages or English in Finland are working somewhere that we don't know about. Their colleagues and friends are usually the ones that bring them to us, and then we can start to discuss about the possible trafficking issues and so on. So this is kind of what I want to say, that policies have concrete impacts in different ways, and we should all think how to involve, include people in the policy making and the evaluation of the policies.